This is an interview with Wesley Field, who served with the 106th Division and the 95th Division during World War II. This interview is being conducted at the Mount Horeb Public Library at the following address, 105 Perimeter Road, Mount Horeb, Wisconsin, on the following date, Tuesday, September 9th, 2008, and the interviewer is Jessica Williams. Let's start with talking about your background and life circumstances before you entered the military service.
Well, I graduated out of high school. I was still 17 years old. So it took a while. I had to register and so on before I got drafted. Mm-hmm. And I worked odd jobs, born and raised on a farm, of course. I had jobs and worked for the Bell Telephone Company in Madison there for until I got drafted. So that kind of helped me when I got in service because I had a little communication background. Mm-hmm. And they put me into the headquarters company where it's our job was communications and so on, wiring and radio. And I was in the wire section, they called it. And of course, we had to learn how to lay a wire, how to connect it up to telephones and so on, so they could communicate. And did that all the time. Well, I should start a little back up a little bit more for that. Well, that's okay. When I got on surface. Shall I tell what camp I went to?
Yeah, sure.
Well, we got drafted. Of course, we went down to Camp Grant. And of course, had a haircut and all the shots, and got all our equipment and so on. And then we got on the train and went to. We had no idea where we were going to go. We ended up in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And so anyway, we got shipped down to our locations and so on. And of course, we were in headquarters company of the 795th in the 106th Division. And. And of course, headquarters, we more or less do the communication work for the other company. There's A company, there's B company, C company, and we take care of the communications. And that's being in the wire section. And we go out on maneuvers or out on a bivouac somewhere. Our job was to lay the wire for communications for different companies or different companies, different A, B, or C company, I guess it is. And I was down there for quite a while, and finally I got transferred into the message center. And the message center, we took all the messages from all the different companies, our headquarters, we had to pass it on to different companies. And it was just two of us who were in there, Sergeant Blair and myself. And it was quite enjoyable. We had all the generals and everything else come into our location, or any communication come through our facilities, and we had to pass it on to the other companies. So, and I really enjoyed that, and so keep on going. Well, we spent about a year and a half down there in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. It's right outside of Columbia. And after about let's go back a little bit farther, 106th Division, we started the whole, it's a brand new division. And it's made up of a lot of people from the Midwest. And we had three people from Mount Horeb, Norman Johnson, and Don Thorhaug, and Philip Pluck, and myself from Mount Horeb, was at 106th Division. And there's a lot of guys from Madison and surrounding areas, Chicago and so on. A lot of people from the Midwest, and then a lot of them from New York City, and Pennsylvania. And then you go down, you got Mississippi, Georgia. And that's we made up the 106th Division, And of course, the 106th Division, we had everything in it. We had everything that makes up a division in a way. Mm-hmm. After about a year and a half and before Jacksonville, South Carolina, we went to maneuvers in Tennessee for 3 months, January, February, March. And of course, at maneuvers, you have to sleep outside. You don't have any tents or nothing like that. Spend all your time at night sleeping outside. And of course, they have your people have do the cooking for us. And sometimes it'd be raining, sometimes it'd be snowing, and it was really quite an experience. So, and after about 3 months down there in Tennessee, we're right outside of a national, I can't even think of another little town outside of that. Anyway, that's where we spent our 3 months. And we did get to Nashville one time. It was pretty close to where they had the Grand Ole Opry. We never got there, but it was pretty close to it.
So all this time you were in the communications division, basically, because of your experience.
Right, right. So, that's about it.
Okay.
The basic, in a way.
Uh-huh. And then after you did maneuvers, were you shipped overseas?
Well, see what really happened. I liked the 106th Division, but I kind of goofed myself up a little bit there. We were in maneuvers in Tennessee, of course, and we had every company, we had a Jeep to our disposal. We had A, B, and C. And this one day we had some free time, I thought, so I went with the guy who delivered a message. We stopped at a little place to get a candy bar, something to eat, and somebody stole our Jeep. And, of course, the driver, he got court-martialed. And I was just a passenger along, but our company commander, he didn't like it too well. He was kind of mad and pretty teed off at me, too, but he couldn't court-martial me or do anything like that. So what he could do is transfer me, and that's what he did. And they transferred me for the 95th Division. But it turned out good. It turned out the best thing, ever happened. Got it out of the 95th Division, then I went to Fort George G. Meade in Maryland. Was there for a while. Then went down to Camp Kilmer right outside of New York. And was there at D-Day. And then right after D-Day, about a week after D-Day, we got shipped across. And we went over to Glasgow, Scotland. From Glasgow, Scotland, we went down to England. Devizes right outside of London there for about 4 or 5 weeks, something like that. And I don't think about it. I was telling somebody the other day about it. We were in Devizes, and somebody from our camp, they had a chance to go to London. So we each chipped in a little money to bring some scotch back for us. So then Sunday morning, we was going to have a little celebration with the scotch and so on. After they came back, opened up the bottle, it's nothing but vinegar. So, but then after that, then we shipped overseas, shipped out of Southampton, and landed at what beach it was over there. But it was after D-Day. It had to be, about 3-4 weeks or something like that after D-Day. And we joined our outfit. 95th was over there now, over there at that time. And we joined them. Well, they're still in France, but we're getting pretty close to the Germany border. And so there are a lot of little things happening between there, but that's about the basic. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever find out what happened to your 106th Division?
Well, 106th Division, like I say, I got hit over there in about Thanksgiving time. I think it was the day after Thanksgiving. And they got in the hospital. I ended up at a hospital about right outside of Paris. And then listened to the news and so on. And then, of course, the 106th of the government, battle of the Bulge. And all those guys got captured. So I felt pretty lucky about it. I mean, sitting there, had nice and warm. Had good looking nurses taking care of us. Good food. And we spent Christmas there. Christmas in a hospital, New Year's and so on. And I spent there till the end of January, the 1st of February, then I went back up again. So, and then stayed there, and of course, was up in Rhine River. And anyway, it's getting closer to the end of the war. And then, I can't remember now what town it was when the war was over with, in a way I knew. I remember we got into a town. Of course, we got into Germany and so on. We wanted to stay somewhere. We chased the people out of the house. We'd move in, take over. We could send them upstairs or somewhere. And we had a nice little place. We had a nice little place about 2 or 3 days before the victory, before they signed the armistice. But they marched us every day, took us on a hike every day, kind of keep us busy. But anyway, I remember they had a church up on a hill. It was a Catholic church. And of course, they could never fly the German flag or nothing like that. They always had an American flag. And so they asked that time if they could put up their flag. So they put up a church flag, I think it was, instead of a German flag. But anyway, it was on Palm Sunday. And anyway, it's quite an experience.
We, after war was over with, they thought that's going to send us an army of occupation up in England or Germany. So we got way up in the tip of Germany, way up by the, I can't even think of the name of the towns, way on the top of Germany there, entering right underwater. And said we'd stay there for 6 months to a year. Well, we stayed there about 6 weeks. Of course, the war in Japan was going pretty strong at that time. And I was thinking up there, we had a nice little place. It was quite a ways from the headquarters where we're at. And we had a well, I remember that. They all had to come get the well, and some good-looking gals around there. But anyway, somebody, if they found a hearse in a shed, so we had a little communications there, a little get around with for a little bit. Well, they didn't stay there very long. And of course, then we got sent back. We're supposed to get back and get ready to go to France, to go to Japan. And we got back down to the coast there. And I was thinking about this one time. We had to take a shower before we got to get on the ship to come back home. And it's right outside of a little town. You got to set the shower up there. And of course, you take a shower, you get stripped, line up platoons and so on. And you take the, you strip off, put your clothes in a pile. And by gosh, from not too far away is the sidewalk down. Everybody's walking back and forth, and we could see the people in their kitchens, they're cooking, they're bare naked. So, but anyway, we got our shower, and after that, we got on the ship and came back. And then we came back, we ended up in Fort Jackson, down in Mississippi. I can't think of the name of the town right now. But anyway, we were down there, and then, by gosh, we had a furlough home. Was home for about a month, I think it was. We had to go back. We got back there, supposed to start training for South Pacific, and the war got over with over there in Japan. So we stayed there to until we got discharged. Got discharged out of the Mississippi. So, about it.
So, they sent you into England after D-Day?
Yeah, okay. Went to Glasgow, Scotland.
Okay.
And Glasgow, Scotland, we came from Glasgow, Scotland down to Devizes.
Okay.
Right outside of London.
Okay. And then what did they do with you?
We had training there. I always think about, we got to the camp down at Devizes outside of London. Anyway, they give us a bag, sleeping bag. It's not a sleeping bag, kind of a bag like that. There's a straw stack over there, and that's your mattress. So we had to go and get our straw and fill the mattress up, and those are mattresses for the we're sleep on. So it wasn't so bad. A lot of rabbits around there, and guys were shooting rabbits. So we have rabbits to cook. We had our little stove in our hut there, anyway. So, and then we got England. We go down to the coast. I can't think of the name of them towns right now, Albany Town. But we go down into the coast. They're swimming down there. Of course, they don't have any bathroom houses or nothing like that. So when you put your swimming suit on, you just strip and put them on. And that was that. But
what was your job when you were in the 95th Division? Were you still in communications, or did they have you do something else?
No, I had to do something else.
Okay.
So.
What'd you have to do?
Well, really, I mean, I ended up in the infantry, see.
Okay.
I was in the artillery.
Okay.
With the 106th Division, ended up infantry. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that's a whole different ball of wax than artillery. And I was with the outfit that blows up landmines and that. And I never was very good at that or that great about that. But we'd always be, when you attacked or go and so on, you'd have a rifle, of course, you just keep walking and just get your territory.
So your job was to kind of scout find the landmines?
No, not find them, but they used to blow them up. Uh-huh. That was a job. Uh-huh. Find a landmine, or if it's find something, you blow it up.
Yeah.
So people wouldn't get hurt.
Yeah.
So. But I was fortunate if I got hit, so I didn't see too much of it.
How'd you happen to get hit?
Well, it was shortly after Thanksgiving, anyway. And your jump off, your take off in the morning. It was about 7:30, something like that. We had breakfast before. They had the breakfast set up in the cow yard, and that's where they had breakfast. We slept in the barn that night. Mm-hmm. And got us going. And of course, you spread out and you just take a territory. You know, go in kind of a line. It's quite long, actually, and then just keep on marching. If you see a bush, you shoot at it and so on, make sure that nobody's in the back there hiding. Mm-hmm. And of course, we had an airplane flying overhead all the time. All the time we was going through there. And so we come to a little town. I still picture that little bitty town. It's the valley. There's a church way over on the other side and a hill coming up the other side. And we never thought about it. The plane went back. We thought we got to cut to our destination. And my gosh, we sat there and lit up a cigarette. I was a smoker at that time. Lit up a cigarette, and all of a sudden, you know, Screamy Memes, they call them, 88s come in. And of course, then you hit for the ditch, try to get a little shelter so on. And, man, it's pretty close. And there'd be dirt laying on top of you and so on. You didn't realize you're hurt or hit until after you get up. And, of course, I wasn't bad. I just got hit in the arm and leg. Just enough to get back. Well, of course, right away, you know, the medics are around there pretty close, and of course, you tell them. And of course, you always got to take your pills if you get hurt. You to prevent infection and that. And you take that, and of course, then you go get in the Jeep and you ride back to where the medical people are. And they look at you, and bandage you up, or take care of, and so on. And then from there, then you get on a truck and you go back to another location. A bunch of medics and so on. Well, then they look at you there, and then they finally send you to the general hospital, more or less. And that's how I ended up outside of Paris. So.
You were there for several months.
Pardon?
You were there for several months.
Oh, yeah. I was there for shortly after Thanksgiving, anyway. And then I was there for December and January. And I think around the first part of February, I went back to my office again. Pretty close at Rhine River at that time. I had to take a train, ride in a train. And of course, I always think about it. Had your sleeping bag and you sleep in a little box car they had. And yeah, if you had a potty or something like that, you know, they open the door to the side of the box car and potty out the door. So, yeah, I got up and pretty close to Rhine River. I remember we walked along the Rhine River, and we went, anyway, we took, we rode up through there. We didn't walk, we rode, and after we got up there, the town, I can't even think of the name of the town right now, but anyway, all hell broke loose on the river, on the road. So, but that's when we captured a wine and champagne cellar. And I kind of had a cousin, Vernon Uffordal from Middleton. He was in our 95th too. And we got together, by gory. And of course, we had some wine and champagne. And we go through the whole cellar, we pick out the best. I mean, we wouldn't pick nothing cheap about it. So we had a little celebration anyway. But I always think about, we had a guy, the name was Penn, William Penn, I think it was. He was from Pennsylvania. And that's where I cut his hair, in a way. And of course, he liked to drink the wine or champagne. And he drank quite a bit anyway. He got laid down a little, passed out, I think it was. And he woke up, he says, man, it's quiet. Well, God, I've been chilling the hell out of us for not our location, but a block away, actually. So we're pretty good. But boy, it was noisy there for a while. He said, man, is it ever quiet out? So.
He said that while they were shelling or after they were shelling?
Well, you happen to come wake up and come to, you know. I guess after the shelling. I remember one guy, a sniper got him. And in order to show where the bullet went, it came out, it went into the front. Anyway, it didn't hit his testicles, but he had to push it and pull it aside to show where the bullet went in, and came out of his in back, went right through him. And, matter of fact, he was from Tennessee. He was something with Patsy Montana. I remember her now. She was a great singer from Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Right, Nashville down through there. And he was some relation to her. And I remember that.
Did he die?
No.
He lived?
Yeah. But God, he, I mean, shot across the river. Sniper did. And got him. So, it couldn't have been too far across at that location.
No.
I can't think of the name of the town we were at. It starts at H.
So So then after you were at the Rhine, where did they send you?
I didn't say we kept on going anyway. And of course, we went. We're different. We're still in the same outfit, but I mean, we're still different location. We went by went at the ship at night. They also go at night. And another guy that was right at the back end of a truckload of ammunition was going up front, going to a different location. And he ran off the road. It tipped over. And of course, we had M1s in there and rocket or mortar shells and all that sort of stuff in the back of the truck. And one landed on my nose here, and we banged it up pretty well. And the other guy, I don't know what happened, but it was dark out, you know. So.
So you were in the truck. You were in the truck with him.
Back end.
Oh, the back end.
Yeah.
When it tipped over.
Two of us guys in the back, one on one side, one on the other side, and of course tripped over this way. See.
Oh my gosh. How did he drive off the road? Did he fall asleep?
Well, of course at night you don't have any lights, you know. They got just little bitty lights, little bitty lights. I don't know what happened to the guy or what happened, but anyway, he ran off the road. Just enough so he could tip the truck anyway,
yeah.
On the side, didn't go all the way over.
Uh-huh.
So.
Then what did you do?
Well, anyway, we got cleaned up a little bit and found my rifle. And of course, then we kept on going. I don't know, I can't quite remember what happened after that. So. But anyway, I was fortunate too after I came back from the hospital. I think we were up in Denmark, Holland. It was in Holland, I think it was. And they're giving passes out to people to go to Paris for a week. And every day I got lucky enough, I got drawn.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a week in Paris.
What did you think of Paris?
Oh, that was great. But anyway, they said the money is no good, so take a lot of cigarettes along. So we took cigarettes along as good as money. And I rode a truck on the way, all from Holland to Paris, the back end of a truck.
Yeah.
And we stayed right outside the Arc of Triomphe,
mm-hmm.
Pretty close to it anyway. And we didn't have to wear our tie, didn't have to wear our cap. We said make sure to keep your pass in your pocket, so if you get lost, you can people to help you get you back to where you belong. So, yeah, we'd have food, we'd always have music. They were playing with violins every night, serenading us. And we'd ride the trolley, the train, Pig Alley, I think they called it. Not sure, but something like that, anyway, underground. Rode that and bummed around. So, that was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Arc of Triomphe. What is the other one there?
Eiffel Tower?
Yeah. Pretty darn close.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So.
That would be nice.
So, no, we got rid of all the cigarettes, so we took a long.
So, then you went back to Holland?
Yeah, I went back again.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too long after that, then the war was pretty close to over with.
Mm-hmm.
We could share the fighting was over with.
Mm-hmm. So did you have any things you did for good luck? Like any kind of rituals or anything just to, as you're going through the day? Any superstitions or anything like that?
No. I don't think that. I mean, I always felt confident that you know, it's going to be all right. And you know, it was quite a challenge. Okay, in a way, I remember some guy, the one guy we had. He was a tough little guy. At least he talked tough and so on. But when it really came down to really getting wild outside, he's about the biggest coward there was. But. I was thinking about we'd also have to. It was in Germany. And we had to guard a bridge. And we'd be 4 hours, I think 4 hours on and 4 hours off, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to cross a lot of tracks, several. I can't think of the other town. But anyway, we stand there and guard those tracks, you know. And then we come back. We stayed in the depot downstairs. And of course, they had a lot of boxes. It was around Christmas time, after Christmas time. You'd be surprised all the American prisoners over there. We go through all those boxes, you know. We sleep down, not up top stairs, but we sleep down where the parcels come in. We slept down there. Now I think this one night, all of a sudden it was quiet, and we heard a lot of rumble. God, we thought the Germans were coming with tanks. And it was American tanks, thank God.
That was near the end of the war?
Huh?
Was that near the end of the war?
Pretty close to it, I think. But one I'll never forget was, you'd have to stand guard every night. You'd have a password every night. And this one night, I had to protect a certain area in a way. You get down the doorway there. Dark outside, not completely, not so too dark. And anyway, you could hear something coming down the street. And boy, your old heart starts pounding, wondering what it is. And boy, you got the press word in your head, and you're a man, and got your gun ready, and so on. And here was just a leaf.
A leaf?
Leaf.
Huh.
You just hear it just sliding down. Down the street. Talk about your heart pounding a little bit there, you know.
You must have just been on edge.
Huh?
You must have just been on edge.
Yeah, you were. But, and then we got strafed once by the airplane, too. We was marching into a town. Of course, you march in the town, and you got to march one on each side. You never march in the center of the road. You mark, you know, one group on one side and one the other side. And all of a sudden, heard the plane come. All of a sudden, we had a couple of German prisoners with us too at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just hear the croak, you know, the airplane shooting at us. Just real, came down real low. And I don't know if it hit anything or not. I don't remember. But we had two German prisoners with us at that time. But we had. I can't remember where it was at, but we had a little guy called Hempstreet. He was from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had to call the BMR, BNR, BNR, anyway. That's a great big rifle, high-powered rifle. And this guy was only about 5 foot, 5 foot two. Of course, the BNR, BR, BNR. He carried one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And just about a couple, 3-4 inches off the ground when he carries it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite a, he liked to drink.
Mm-hmm.
He also was looking for some booze. And it's one time he went on hunting, he came back with two German prisoners. So, you know. So that, you got to laugh and everything else, you know. Get too serious, you wouldn't last very long.
This is the end of the first interview with Wesley Field, recorded on September 9th, 2008.